Hello and welcome to the Anatomic Fitness Podcast. I am your host, James Sutherland, and with me is...
Your producer, Jason Hewlett. That's me.
You're the producer.
I am the producer.
Okay, and I'm... Yeah, producer. Then I'm the...
Host.
Host. Host. Cool. That's a great word. I like that.
That's good. Well, it's accurate.
I suppose so. Yeah. I suppose so. So, last week and the week before, we've been discussing back to school stuff, eating healthy, parenting, and there's one key aspect of parenting that is pretty important.
Having a child?
Yeah. Ding, 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 ding. You win the prize. You win the prize of the week. So yeah, having kids. And, you know, most of our listeners, or a lot of them, I'm sure, from ones I've heard from at least, have at least one of these little cretins running around their house.
Yeah.
And you have one.
I have one as well. Yeah.
And what has that done to you? How has that changed your fitness journey? You touched on it a bit at the end of last week. That you weren't really doing much, and then you started doing a little bit and a little bit more as you got older.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like anything. Your first year, basically, or two of having a child is consumed with just the child and just trying to survive, right? Basically, that's all it is. And everyone I know who's got kids, the first 2 years is the hardest part. And it's also when they look back years later, they've forgotten most of it because you're just exhausted. So the fitness journey ended, basically, for a couple of years. And then if you have injuries, that exacerbates it. But it was a slow return.
So it was more like a fitness expedition?
More of an expedition. And what was interesting, and you can probably relate to this and even relate to something we're going to be talking about here, as your child gets older and becomes more active, that's almost when you start to get more active. Because I know with Griffin, he'd get to an age where he'd want to throw the ball around in the backyard. So that's what we did. We'd play some basketball or football or even soccer in the yard. And as he got more active, so did I. And it became a natural progression. Then I went off on my own as he was old enough to do his own thing. And then he gets to school. And there's PE and all that kind of stuff. So that was kind of the journey. It progressed as he got older.
Right. And I think that's true for anybody, as long as you have a somewhat active child. That for me, with my second child, especially with McKenna, who's actually going to be on the show, just when she was born, I had started getting all my injuries from football and hockey taken care of. I had three surgeries in the course of 5 years.
Wow.
Knee, shoulder, knee, which was great. So, but I did that specifically for knowing, okay, well, when she's 4 or 5, she's going to start getting crazy active, and I want to be able to go and hang out and do things with her and run around in the field with her and not be like, okay, yep, 5 minutes is good for daddy. He's old and broken, so he can't go any further. So I had that same sort of thing, and it was after the surgeries that I started training at No Limits, and the rest, as they say, is history. All of a sudden, I'm training people for a living. So
we're right.
Right? So my expedition, you know, we hear fitness journey all the time. I was thinking about this the other day, and a journey just kind of seems like you just go along your merry way and, you know, might run into a hiccup or two, but an expedition kind of seems like there's a lot more work put involved. There's a lot more focus. It's a bigger thing. And for a lot of people, I think that's true. I think it is more of an expedition. Like, you got to have a bigger backpack for an expedition than a journey.
Yes.
You got to have a lot of stuff in there, and that can be the mental health stuff and the eating and scheduling and all these sort of things that you have to be able to manage and control to make that a successful expedition.
Well, and it's a good way to put it, because it is, it's a bumpy road, and it's a long road, and it's a hard road. And I want to bring it back to something you were saying, you know, like those of you with active kids. Well, active parents make for active kids.
Ding, ding, ding.
Right? Yeah. If you're an inactive parent who's on their phone all the time or sitting inside watching TV and eating chips, guess what kind of kid you're going to have? You don't see super healthy, fit kids with fat parents. Right? I'm just going to call it right there. You see, fat parents have fat kids. So, hate mail, jhewlett72@gmail.com. But it's a fact. It's a simple fact. So, you want a healthy, active child, be a healthy, active parent. And the beauty of that is, once you get to a certain age, you can do that together with your kid.
Yeah, exactly. And the other beauty of that, too, is that for some parents that are unable to be active due to whatever health issues they have, they can still promote it.
Yes.
They can still push their children. I've had parents that, you know, in all the years I coached football and stuff, some that couldn't, unfortunately, be active due to health issues, whether they were in a wheelchair or other, you know, asthma and things like that would prevent them from being out and doing big active things. They pushed their kids. They promoted their kids. They supported their kids.
They showed up at the games and the practices, and they drove them there.
And it's amazing seeing the difference with kids like that when they have that support from the parent, whether, again, the parent is out chucking the ball with them or the parent is out watching them.
Yeah.
Right? And as long as you're able to support them, I think that can make a huge difference.
Well, why don't we bring your kid in to talk a bit about school, fitness, etc.
Yeah, so briefly, explanation of that. McKenna, she's 12 years old. She's just started grade 7. She plays soccer. She likes to mountain bike. She likes to keep active, but like most about-to-be teenagers, she also likes to chill and just spend time by herself reading or doing whatever she likes to do at different times. And, you know, and that's okay as long as she has that active outlet, and hers happens to be soccer. So we have a brief chat with her coming up right now.
Hello, and this is James at the Anatomic Fitness Podcast, and I am interviewing our special guest on the first part of this episode, my 12-year-old daughter, McKenna Sutherland. Good evening, McKenna.
Hello, Father.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
Good. So thank you for agreeing to come on. As Jason and I alluded to, you kind of got yourself into this by listening to one of the recordings and, you know, having some things to say afterwards. So you wound up being a guest.
Yeah, shouldn't have talked.
Well, now you have no choice. So the theme this month on the show has all been about back to school and trying to get back in routines and fitness and trying to get all those things to mesh well. And we've been talking to adults mainly about adulting, which isn't something I recommend. But it's something that's we feel we need to touch on was a kid's aspect of it. What it's like, because it's, you know, back to school can be a lot of pressure on kids. Some kids love it, elementary schools, they get all excited about it. But you just started middle school. So for those around the world listening, middle school in British Columbia here starts in our city, at least, starts in grade 7. So it's a school of 7, 8s, and 9s, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you went from being the big kids in the school, in elementary school, to being the small, youngest kids in the school. And how's that been for you?
Well, the first day was really stressful. Basically had no clue where I was going. And my teachers have been amazing and super helpful, so eventually it became no problem.
So with grade 7, you got a whole bunch of subjects, and then you have an elective sort of thing, right? Like either swimming or band or what? And what have you chosen?
Yeah, well, with the academies, that's aquatics. I believe there's soccer, hockey, and something else. And if you choose one of those, that basically takes up your PE time. And if you choose band or choir, then the only academy you're allowed to choose is dance. That's the other one.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't choose the dance academy when I decided to join band because I'm not much of a dancer.
You get that from me.
Yeah.
So you're in band.
Mm-hmm.
And what instrument are you going to be playing in band?
Well, tomorrow I'm getting my flute, and I'm so ridiculously excited. And I'm going to be the only flautist in the entire band.
Only flautist. I always wondered about that term. Yes. You play the flute, but you're a flautist. But hey, I'm no band person, so that's great though. So you said all the teachers have been good, so they're helping you guys settle in and get used to the whole different atmosphere of a middle school compared to an elementary school.
Yeah, with our core classes, it's basically everything you would have in elementary school. One teacher, one situation, it's all good. And with our physical health and education, our core teacher instructs, coaches, whatever you want to call it, he teaches us gym. And he's also a soccer player.
Oh, well, there you go. So that's a great segue we just did there. So he's a soccer player, and what is your primary source of extracurricular activity outside of school, since we're trying to make sure kids are being active and trying different things?
I play soccer. I have since I was, what, about 3?
Give or take, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, and today I just finished at a practice, and I'm going to join a new team, and it's more competitive than the team I was just on.
And you're looking forward to that?
Yes, for sure.
And just so everyone else knows, what position do you play primarily in soccer?
I am a goalkeeper.
Oh, the crazy ones. Excellent. That's obviously, you're definitely my kid. So why, and what else do you do besides soccer? Soccer is a team sport, right? And what's, like, so what else do you do besides that?
Well, I snowboard in the winter, and it's really nice to just clear my head, ride down the mountain, sometimes with friends or family, and it's just nice to be in your own headspace, do your thing, and mess around.
And that's different, vastly different from soccer.
Mm-hmm.
So what is that you like about soccer?
I like working together with my teammates, especially the ones I've known for a long time. And I don't know, I've played it my whole life, and it's just been something that I've continued to do and enjoyed doing.
So do you like the, you know, the team atmosphere stuff where you're relying on others and that sort of thing too?
Yeah, definitely.
And then also with snowboarding, you're relying on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So you got a very personal sport and then a very focused team sport.
Yeah.
So do you find that to be a nice balance? Do you enjoy both of them relatively equally?
Yeah, it's a great balance. I absolutely love it.
Excellent. So now with summer closing out, definitely around here, that's for sure, and soccer picking up and snowboarding picking up, you're probably going to be pretty active, especially come October, November, when it starts to get snow on the ground?
Yeah, I'm going to be go, go, go all the time, snowboarding basically every weekend, and soccer practice whenever that is.
I think it's twice a week.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you might be pretty tired from snowboarding and soccer, so.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure one of the practices is on the weekend.
Yeah, well, that might change.
Hopefully.
So, well, that's great. So, you're in closing, back to school. A whole lot of stuff has gone on in the last 2 weeks. A whole new school, a whole new sport team thing going on. And how are you handling all that? How are you feeling about all that?
I'm still stressed and all over the place, but I mean, I'm really happy. Super excited for the rest of the year, and especially for snowboarding and my new soccer team.
Excellent. Well, thank you for coming on the show and getting yourself into a little bit of trouble there. And we'll see if you record or listen to us record another episode. And if you get yourself in trouble again, we might have to drag you back on.
Well, that'd be fun.
Well, thank you very much, McKenna. And we'll hopefully talk to you again soon on the Anatomic Fitness Podcast.
Okay.
So, not bad for not a 12-year-old.
Not bad, yeah. Not bad for 12. She's very, she's sat in with us doing a few recordings, and she is quite chatty and articulate. So.
Yeah, so that luckily came through.
Yes.
In the interview. So, you know, so it was brief, but I, you know, it kind of gets the point across that kids can be active and they need to enjoy activity, and it's a good thing. And it's also a good thing for them to have that quiet time to relax and do their own thing, because their bodies are going crazy right now when they're that 12, 13, 14-year-old age, and their bodies are changing drastically. So sometimes they have no energy to go and do stuff. And as long as we're understanding, and they are too, that, okay, yeah, you can have your chill day now, but in 2 days from now, you got your soccer practice, or you got this, exactly, or you got that, and you're going to that, you know, and you're going to keep active. So she's fallen in and out of love and back in love with soccer over her time playing. And
ooh, what a segue.
It was a good segue until you cut it off. And, oh, what a good segue. But yes, and that is the segue to the interview, the second portion of the interview. We don't usually, haven't done two interviews on one show before.
We haven't actually, no.
But that's the difference. That's what makes this podcast so exciting, is we like to throw a curveball at you once in a while. So this one interview is with Kieran McMahon. He's a technical director for KYSA, Kansas Youth Soccer Association. And before you ask, technical director is, as he equates it to in the interview, like the principal, mm-hmm, of the school. So he kind of oversees most, if not all, aspects of running the organization. I've known Kieran as long as my daughter's been in soccer. So almost as long as he's been with KYSA, so about 7 years.
Oh, wow.
We haven't talked a lot until the last few years. And then as McKenna's been getting back into soccer, and she's a goalkeeper, as she touched on, and every team, every sports team that has a goalkeeper is always, organization is always desperate for goalkeepers. So we've been talking a lot more than we had before, because she likes playing goal and they're always looking for that. So I was able to reach out to him. He was very excited about coming on the show, so sat down and had a chat.
Isn't it nice when they're excited?
Yeah, like I sent the email. I got an email 5 minutes later going, great, I'd love to do it. When can you do it? Just send me a text and we'll off we go. And I was like, okay, great, thanks.
Magic.
Spectacular. And it was a great chat. And he covers a lot of aspects. He did a lot of different things. He tried, he got a degree in mechanical engineering, which obviously is a direct correlation to coaching soccer.
Yeah, I can see how that would lead to that.
But him, very much like myself, he was coaching youth soccer when he was 16, and I was coaching football when I was 16.
There you go.
And he developed a lifelong passion for coaching, as did I. So there you go. So that's the segue into the interview with Kieran McMahon from KYSA.
Hello and welcome to the Anatomic Fitness Podcast interview. This is James here, and I'm here with Kieran McMahon, the Technical Director of Kamloops Youth Soccer Association. Good afternoon.
How are we doing?
Outstanding, yourself?
Not too bad.
Good. So this month I've been focused on back to school and all the chaos that follows that. And soccer, due to the time of year, can be a pretty big time of the year for soccer and, you know, new soccer programs starting up and that sort of thing. So what are you guys at KYSA doing with respect to soccer and all the other chaos that's been going on in the world? How are you promoting all that?
Yeah, well, we have a fall program, which we strategically start the second week after kids are back to school. So it minimizes that chaos on that week back. And we're blessed with beautiful fields out here where we are in Kamloops. And we run that for about six weeks through to the end of October. And we really try to offer parents and players kind of a choice of day and time to train. They come in into our academy environment. They train with our paid academy coaches. And then they have the option to just train or do training and games. And so games are just the second day add-on, and they can come out and they get that kickabout, and they just get that time to stretch your legs, learn a little bit more about the game, socialize with their friends, meet new friends as well, and kind of just have that joy through the last great few months that we have here in Kamloops.
So with respects to that, you know, I assume attendance has been kind of fluctuating over the last couple of years with everything going on. How are you finding things looking this year?
Yeah, the interior BC here, we were very unfortunate. We got hit right before our primary season with the shutdown in March of 20. When was that? 20. What year is it now? Yeah, 2020. We only managed to get really 30 or 40% of a season this year as well. So we've been heavily hit by that. But quite impressed by our numbers. This spring especially, we had about 60% of our membership stay on board to support a socially distanced training format. And those numbers were higher than we expected. And so they stayed on with that. Our numbers for our summer programming and our fall programming so far, we're hitting our targets and even being a little bit above that. So we're quite happy to see those numbers bouncing back. I think for a lot of parents, they're happy to get their kids into team sports again and the socialization and everything that's surrounding that. And a lot of kids are happy to get out there and socialize and play in that team sport side of things as well.
So you mentioned the team sport about three or four times in that little spiel. Obviously, you're a big proponent of team sports, as am I. I coach for your organization, and I've coached football for a couple of decades. So what do you feel are the biggest benefits to team activities with respects to youth?
Well, that teamwork aspect of things, you know, there's all the studies that show males or females who've been involved in team sports tend to excel further in their careers, and certain careers recruit based on your history with team sports and everything like that. And that cooperation, that kind of three musketeers, one for all and all for one type thing, it can humble a lot of players. I think through COVID and everything, there was a big shift for the athletic kids and the kids who wanted to be outside towards individual sports. And that only gets you so far. Sometimes being around others that can motivate you and push you is a positive thing. Being accountable in terms of your performance to others is a big thing. And of course, that's often very, very dependent on a coach who's engaging and supportive and motivating for young players. And they find that safe space. It's a space where they want to come to. It's a space where they can get away from their troubles of the day and challenges they might have in their personal or social or home lives or school lives, and they come into that team environment. They've got a couple of good friends there that our soccer friends and some of those friends that are friends across all aspects of their life as well. It just creates that unique environment for kids to participate in, and they get to run around and have activity as well. You tend to find that the soccer is secondary to a lot of the players. It's just the social connections, and soccer happens to be the medium through which that's delivered.
So you've spent a lot of time with KYSA. How long have you been there now?
7.5 years.
And you're a technical director, so what does that entail, as brief as you can possibly make
it? So the way I like to summarize that is I'm like the principal of the school. That's the easiest way I can sum it up, except all of my teachers do not have four-year bachelor's degrees in education. They're volunteer parents who have a desire to support their child and the children of others, and I kind of help guide their education and their growth and their learning in the game, and put programming together and standards together that'll help support the youth on their development side as well.
Okay, so with that, that obviously shows that you have a background with not just soccer, but helping people, you know, and educating and supporting the youth environment. So what is your background with respect to that?
So I have a varied background. I actually started as a mechanical engineer. I got a degree in engineering from UBC.
That makes sense. There's a direct correlation.
Yeah, I like to think I engineer the future lives of soccer players. Sometimes I no longer wear my engineering ring, but that's because my fingers got pudgy.
Well, we may need to talk about that off air.
There you go. Then I went in, I realized it wasn't for me. I retired, I'm saying this with air quotes, from engineering, and I went into education, pursued my bachelor's of education, and realized that the educational system didn't allow me the freedoms that I wanted to kind of pursue and experiment with education and such. And so I, upon getting my B.Ed., I focused full-time on coaching. I've been coaching since I was 16. I've been coaching as a livelihood since I was 24, 25. And it was really after I got my bachelor's in education that I focused fully on doing what I could through soccer and trying to advance. Really just help put a smile on kids' faces. And I was comfortable with soccer. I had a history in it. I was good at it. And so I chose that as the way forward.
So from mechanical engineering to coaching a soccer organization, being the principal of a soccer organization, there's not much correlation there with respects to, like you just said, putting smiles on the faces of children. So was it once you started your education degree that you kind of realized that was where you wanted to go, or what prompted the promotion of kids?
I think I've been coaching since I was 16. I started with a high school team, coaching the junior girls team at my high school. I'd friends that were in my grade, and they only had a senior team, and a bunch of my friends were juniors and didn't make that senior team, and thought, okay, a buddy of mine was willing to set something up and run forward with it, and me and another friend realized that he didn't know anything about soccer, and so we offered to help, and that kind of got started. My mother at the time was registrar of our local soccer association and kind of came to me and said, oh, we have a team that needs a coach. Would you be willing to coach, given that you've coached in the high school thing? And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll go ahead and do that. And enjoyed that process and really found, perhaps it's because I'm 16 and I was left alone to lead a group of players however I saw fit. I engaged with that and enjoyed that, rather than coming in as an assistant, you know, as a 16-year-old assistant to a parent coach. I could really kind of drive something, and not having a lot of experience with coaching, I just thought, what would be fun for me? I played youth soccer at that time. I had parent volunteer coaches. I am the product of the house soccer program and a parent coach that stepped up but was ill-equipped to support, and our practices and the enthusiasm and everything like that, like it showed. He'd be there in his Canadian tuxedo, leaning up against the lamppost, smoking a cigarette, while he tossed the ball out for the six of us who were at practice to kick around for him. that was our practice. And so I lost my passion for playing, but found it again through coaching and through playing with other kids and things like that. Even through my engineering, once I worked as an engineer, I still coached the high school team. So I left my engineering job at 3 o'clock to go and coach the team. And then I'd get to work early to make up for those hours and everything like that. But it's always been a part of what I've done since then. And it wasn't until after I retired from education engineering that I realized I have a passion for this. I have a passion to educate. I have a passion to I pursued that in an education program. Then I realized it's a passion for soccer and for educating through soccer. That's the roundabout way.
And here you are.
And here I am, yeah. Many, many years later. And the engineering actually helps because a professional degree focused on standards and details and processes and how gears fit together and how gears are made and everything like that. And that's, we're all cogs in a machine.
There you go, yeah.
And, the soccer organization is a machine, so to speak, and figuring out how all those cogs work together and how they can all be oiled efficiently and everything like that, it all ties together.
Apparently, yeah, that is a very clever way of putting that all together. So it is the season with back to school that I guess winter's coming, so that means no soccer? You guys shut down, right?
No, we're fortunate enough, we have our own indoor facility, so we run programming.
Oh, well, that's handy.
Yeah, we run programming year-round. We shift to our indoor season early November, and we go through with our community programs until mid-February, with some academy programs for our young kids all the way through till the end of March, and then our select programs start at mid-February, and they take up the bulk of that time in the dome, and they get themselves ready for their preseason and everything like that.
So the dome is that artificial turf?
It is, yeah, it's covered. It's we try to heat it as best as we can. it's radiant heat. Which is 20 feet above the ground, and when it's minus 20 outside, that thing's cranking out, working pretty hard to try to keep the indoor of the facility at minus 10. So it works. We move the balls indoors so they don't freeze out in the air. So as long as you're wearing a toque and some track pants and a hoodie, you're pretty good.
You're good to go. So it's just like playing in Saskatchewan all year round.
Yeah, there you go.
I grew up there, so yeah. Great. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah.
And hopefully you guys, your season goes well and your continued winter season goes well. And hopefully registrations increase. If anyone that's listening in the city, in Kamloops, that wants to get a hold of you, what's the best way to get a hold of KYSA?
You can just pop onto our website, kysa.net, and you can shoot us an email or our contact info is up on there. So.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, thanks again, and maybe we'll have you on again come spring and talk about all the crazy stuff you guys got coming on for that.
Yeah, I look forward to it.
Okay, so what do you think? That was an outdoor chat again. So you heard some birds and some cars and some lawnmowers.
Yeah, all the above.
But you also heard a great chat.
Yeah, no, that was good. I really enjoyed that. I've never not enjoyed one of the interviews, so that's
a good
thing.
Well,
right?
Yeah. So he's a very interesting guy. He's very articulate. He's very passionate. Like, he's been doing this for, like you said, about 7.5 years with KYSA, and he kind of created the position and the need for this sort of job within KYSA to help make it grow and help promote it and help expand it. And it's grown exponentially since he's been there. I've seen, like I said, my daughter's been in it most of that time frame, and I've seen the growth and the development of different programs and different academy programs and different summer camps. And like he said, they're doing winter stuff in the soccer dome here in Kamloops. So
awesome.
You can literally play soccer all year round. You're a little chillier
yeah.
in the dome during November, December, January, and February. You got to, like he says, you got to wear a toque.
Yep.
But you still get to play and practice soccer. And the fact that it's on a different kind of turf, like as opposed to grass, causes new challenges and makes players have to learn new ball handling skills and stuff too. So it's a well-rounded program. And as you can tell from his conversation, he's very enthralled with what things are going on and the type of program he's put together.
Well, I think that's great. No, it was great to have him on. And that kind of wraps up our back to school month.
It sure does. Yeah, because this is...
That'll be the 28th.
It's now the 28th of September.
28th of September.
Wow, man. Time flies when you're
pre-recording
podcasts. Yeah. So that's great. So we'll have to come up with the next theme.
In a week.
Yeah.
As
a producer, you better get on that.
I guess I should.
So anyways, keep the information flowing. I keep getting text messages and Instagram messages and stuff like that about the show and people's feedback and thoughts, and keep that coming in. If you're listening outside of Canada or outside of Kamloops even, please make sure you're downloading, we get a record of all those. Don't just hit listen, download it.
Download it.
Download it and then listen and then share it with your friends. And, you know, and again, let me know if there's anything you want us to cover, if there's certain subjects you think are important that we can touch on. And if you got input on that, who knows? Like Christina, a random person, was on the show. My 12-year-old was just on the show. You could just be on the show. You never know. If you've got an interesting theory, an interesting plan that you want to talk about, let me know. Because, you know, we're very open and we want to talk about anything relating to fitness.
Yeah, anything.
And fitness. Health. And again, the mental health month was huge. This month was huge again. So obviously things are trending the right way. So if you have an idea, let me know. At James Suds on Instagram or Anatomic Fitness Training and Coaching on Facebook. Gotcha.
Perfect. Well done.
Yeah,
it only took a call to arms, and it was also you got your information out.
Yeah, and I got that only after however many episodes.
18 weeks.
18 weeks. So 18 weeks. It didn't take me too long. I'm a quick learner.
That's not bad. That's like 4.5 months.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Not bad.
I think I did it one other episode, so we can't be too harsh on me here.
No, it's all right. It's all right. So yeah.
So.
No, it's your show. You go ahead.
You closed out last week, so you're just on a roll. You just want to keep going.
You do it.
So anyways, thank you for listening to the Anatomic Fitness podcast, and make sure you tune in next week for a whole brand new month of great shows.